Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday coming to you with another episode, another video of Wonderful Grace Thoughts. Amen. Folks, don't be afraid of grace. If some people go crazy with grace or some people, you know, frown on grace. Listen, the grace we're talking about is God's influence in your life. You want to frown on his influence in your life when you know 99% of our existence as we wake up in the morning is just literally compacted with an influence that's ungodly constantly, from our phones to our TVs to the things that we listen to on radios or podcasts, to getting in our car and driving down streets where there's all kinds of metal and concrete and asphalt, going 70 miles an hour in the midst of a busy day, trying to avoid traffic with all the different fears and bondages that are all around us, just to get to a place of work where you're with all kinds of ungodly people that are thinking all kinds of things that tempt you constantly and are an influence to you. Do I need to go on? And we haven't even made it to lunch yet. Or the coffee break. Come on a regular basis. Do you know how many thousands of choices you make on a regular basis without even knowing you've made those choices? And where are those choices? Chucking wood into the train of your spirit where godly experiences are happening and prayers are being answered, or chucking wood into the train of your flesh where it's screaming down the track at 100 miles an hour and you're swallowed up in drama, care, and crisis? Well, that's a great way to start this broadcast. How about if we go and listen to Jesus invite us into a relationship with his Father? Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 to 30 says in the Message Bible, "And Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly, 'The Father has given me all these things to do and say.'" This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. "No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly." How about that freely and lightly part, people? Keeping company with him, with Jesus, is living free and light, free of all the bondages of life, free from all the works mentality of life, free from all the chaos that goes through your mind, all the anxieties of life, free, free, free. Free from sickness and disease, free from lack and bondage, glory to God, free to enjoy this planet while we experience God's influence every single day. I know I made that sound too good. I know I did. But you know, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the too good to be true good news. And if you think that's too good to be true, you haven't even heard the half of it. I asked one of my friends one time, my cowboy friend years ago, who's just going home and experiencing God every single night, standing before God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. He'd call them the guys, and he'd call it going home. Now, some people may scoff at that, but you're an idiot to do so, because if you don't know that it's true, then you're a fool. That's what the scripture says. Now, I know those are some strong words, but I don't put up with this stuff anymore. God wants us all to experience him in such a wonderful and tangible way. When somebody starts to experience that, let's stop putting on the brakes and just calling people out, saying they got familiar spiritual devils just because they've gone further than you. I remember Brother Hagin telling us, "Y'all need to come up and grab a hold of what I have after these years, 67 years of ministry, and then go on and experience more." He wasn't afraid of us experiencing more than him. My goodness, I'd just like to experience all that he did. So folks, it's time for us to learn and grow and develop. But one of my friends, you know, just made the comment about, you know, being with the guys and being with the Lord and all the wonderful things, you know, that he experienced there. And one of the greatest things that happened in his life, when he saw the world under the condition that it was, the more that he saw the negativity of the world. In fact, he said to me, Jim, he said, "As soon as you start really experiencing God more, it's going to be sad." I said, "Well, how in the world could it be sad?" He said, "Because the more light you walk in, the more darkness you will recognize others don't walk or do walk in." He said, then you'll begin to see areas of your own life that you're not experiencing the light. It'll make you sad. But folks, that kind of sadness is what moves you to repent. That's where the change comes. So, oh my goodness, let's just run to this change and let Jesus change us all. We're 5 minutes into this, but I want to go back to what I said before. You know, Jesus just jumped right on the Pharisees, and it was a grace testimony that showed that Jesus could see the compromise and the twisted mentality of the flesh and the world and the law. And people that were proponents of this, Jesus called them out because they were hindering people from experiencing God. And that's grace. And so, as I made mention before, doctrine is supposed to be a good word about teaching, the teachings of God. But we can turn those teachings into manipulated scriptures where we defend our right to be just like we are by finding a scripture and perverting it. Because everything about scripture is change. It's constant change. It's about repentance, I'm telling you. The more you experience God, the more you will change and the more you will want to change, because when you see things that are hindering you from experiencing Him, or you see yourself still in your own way, you're going to want to open up your heart for God to show you how to get out of your own way. So doctrine can be manipulated. And then the whole idea of religious and world history. Sure, it's all learned behavior. But who says it's correct learned behavior? And so there's so many historical things religiously and of the world that are twisted. And all of the twisting of those things, especially in religion, is to keep us from experiencing God. You know, go back to some of your religious history. Come on, Constantine, he couldn't contend with the home churches and people that were just experiencing God on their own. So if you can't beat them, join them. So he invited them all to come together under one roof, so to speak, and brought everything unto an orthodox type of structure. And that's why Paul had to say, you got a form of religion, but you deny the power. Come on, world history has been doing that for a long time. And then your to-do list. I know this isn't really fun to talk about, but we treat God, you know, like the old all fix it man. And we got something for you to do for us, Lord, and we're struggling, so we need you to help us. But again, it's going to Him as God instead of knowing Him as Father. Because when you know your Father, He doesn't just help you and fix things. He hangs out with you. And that's the part we're missing. We want to get back to that. So, Colossians chapter 2, 8 through 10. Watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. Endless arguments that never amount to anything. Well, that's a great way to spend your time. Are you starting to get it? Yeah, but I had to argue. No, you really didn't. What's it really going to produce? What's it really going to do? Is the person you're arguing with asking you for help? I don't think so. So is the argument really helping you? No, it's just it's pushing you further away into the world, into your flesh, until you have all kinds of feelings and emotions that take you a lot of time to get over. And all the time that you're buying in to those arguments, you're wasting that time and not experiencing the love and mercy of God. I think you're starting to get it. They spread their ideas through empty traditions of human beings and empty superstitions of spiritual beings. But that's not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in Him. It's in Him. It's in Jesus. Come on, everything about God gets expressed in Jesus. So if you're hanging out with Him, you're probably going to start experiencing more than you ever have of your Father God. And it goes on to say, you don't need a telescope, microscope, or horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without Him. It's empty. Most of the things that we involve ourselves with by choice on a regular basis are empty. They have no spiritual value to your life. When you come to Him, that's exactly what he said in his invitation. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. It's all in him, in him, in him. And that's not doesn't mean in the Bible, in the Bible, in the Bible, and yet read the Bible, because the Bible will lead you to him. But it means in him. Let him come off the pages of the scriptures and get into your life. He is the influence that will put you over and protect you from ever going under. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. You see, you have the choice, and the power is in your choice. The devil wants to make you give your choice away. That's what he did with Adam. Come on, think about this. The devil didn't have any power. He was attracted to the glory that Adam had, realizing that's what he lost when he was in heaven, and he wanted to get it back. So he came to deceive him and trick him into giving it to him. And that has not changed today, folks. You're the one with the power. You're the one with the magic wand in your hand. Where are you going to use it? If the devil gets your vision off into the flesh and in the world, you'll start to use that magic wand and produce all kinds of realities in your life that you will regret. That's the part of being made in image and likeness that's good and bad. What do you mean it's good and bad? In a world that doesn't have the tree of good and evil, it's all good. But in a world where there's a tree of good and evil, then it's good and bad. For instance, having a shotgun pointed at a buck 10 feet away when your family's struggling to eat is a very good thing. But if your four-year-old gets a hold of it, has his finger on the trigger and points it at the two-year-old, that's a very bad thing. And so, folks, if you take what you are as a created being in God and take the passions and the emotions and put them in the flesh and the world, you will create realities in that world just like you will in the heavenly one. And because you're surrounded constantly by negativity, then the realm of negativity will be easier for you to manifest than the realm of positive, the realm of the spirit. Okay, let's go on. Praise the Lord. I'm saying all these wonderful things and people are just loving it, right? Right? Come on, I need some feedback on this. This is good stuff. It's helping you. It's really, really helping you. So you have the power. What is the power? The power of choice. It's being made in the image and likeness of God, where you have the ability to rule, reign on this earth, and you make the decisions. My goodness, that's why he raised you up to sit together with him in heavenly places, Ephesians chapter 2. Matthew 5, 29 to 30, King James says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you, excuse me, that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than it is for your whole body to be cast into hell. And what is he really trying to say here? He says you have the power of choice. This is one of the things I wrote down. That you can choose to cut things off, and it says that your choice to honor God and grace is greater than your body. That's exactly what it says. You have the ability and the power to cut things off of your life. Now, again, let me throw this in. You may be saying, well, brother, I've been trying to cut things off my life and I've just not been successful. Well, remember, once you turn your back on the world, you have to turn your face somewhere. So you can say, well, I'm not acknowledging the world anymore. But are you acknowledging the grace and the love of God that invites him to actually empower you? See, if you don't acknowledge the world, but you're going to turn around and do everything in your own strength, then you get what you can do. But to disavow the world of your time and the power of your choice, but then to give the power of your choice to Jesus and to the realm of the Spirit, where the anointing not only creates in you, but empowers you with desire and ability, is where the change comes. Come on, he not only saved you, but he delights in perfecting that which concerns him, and you concern him more than anything in this world. Woo! Glory! Somebody ought to say glory. And if you can't say glory, say oh me. I got that one from Brother Hagin. Amen. Remember, cutting things off. I'll say it again. What does it say? But that you can choose to cut things off. And it says that your choice to honor God in grace is greater than your body. Wow. Wow. Let's stop right there. And I'm going to reach over here and grab a hold of some of these other wonderful testimonies. It says, hello, this is a small grace story. A few days ago, I went into the store looking for a pair of men's slippers in a certain style, brand, and size, which I was pretty sure I would not find as they were not even available on the company's website. As I was walking through the parking lot approaching the store, I was actually thinking that I had not given the Lord as much time that morning because I wanted to stop at the store and look for the slippers. And based on that, in other words, based on my performance, I would not find the slippers. However, when I got into that section, there were the exact slippers I was looking for. As I write this, I'm overwhelmed with the goodness of God, even in the smallest things. But these stories really are not small because everything that shows us that God wants to be and actually is involved in our everyday lives is huge. Wow, that comes from Mary. And I just want to say, Mary, you hit the nail on the head. Seriously, that is so, so good. Some folks would mock some of the things that we're saying and say, well, you know, there's talk about these little things, but it was the little foxes that spoiled the vine. So why wouldn't it be the little tiny experiences with grace that you desire to see, and by desiring to see it, you're aware of them, that repairs it? Well, Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page is available for you to follow, or go to Adventures in Grace YouTube channel and subscribe. By all means, follow up on what's going on with these grace stories. Make sure you go to jimhockaday.com and find JHMI at jimhockaday.com, our email, and send in your stories. Until next time, we're getting ready to be in a new year, 2022. This is getting exciting, folks. Things are not only going to ramp up, it's going to blow our minds. See you next time. Bye.